Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest's leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome along to another edition of The Score programme. Tonight, as always, we've got a busy show coming up. We'll be speaking with Brendan Kilcoyne, a man knows a thing or two about winning the Dr. Maguire Cup in Donegal as a player and a manager. He'll preview this weekend's opening round fixtures in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship. Plus, we'll be hearing from Jerry McCarthy, who's been speaking to Mark Galler ahead of this weekend's Donegal 555 Ultra Race. Jerry, of course, is looking to win the event for a third time. But as we do most Thursdays, we're going to start by talking football and looking ahead to the League of Ireland action this coming Friday night for the Northwest clubs of Fin Harps and Derry City. And this week, it's the turn of former Fin Harps player Joe Boyle, who joins us on the programme. Joe, a very good evening to you.
You too, Oisin. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Joe. And listen, the game's continuing to come thick and fast, and particularly from Fin Harps' point of view, who are back in action tomorrow, Friday, in the First Division. Again, they've got the longest round trip of the year as they head to play Kerry FC. But listen, if we reflect back on what happened on Monday against Bray Wanderers, leading by 2-0, and then Bray coming back right at the death then to snatch a point in that game. A disappointing end to the match for Harps, but they'll be looking to bounce back, so they will this week against Kerry.
Yeah, very, very disappointing in the end. You know, 99.9% of the night was positive. You know, Harps played well, I thought, in the first half, playing with the wind, that they got the ball down and used it well. They passed it well through midfield, and when they had the opportunity to expose Bray at the back with long through balls, they did that quite well. And, you know, I thought they defended really, really well. And then when they went 2-0 up, and you could just see that set piece, just there was a space there. And I think the delivery into the box by Bray was super. And, you know, it was a great, two great headers from Bray to finish off, but so disappointing for Harps, because there was a good crowd there. They performed really, really well, and you know, it was just a sucker blow. And from my point of view, is if Harps had been winning matches throughout the season, they would have seen that match out comfortably. But just that little bit of nervousness or inexperience or whatever you want to call it just cost them in the end. And you know, the 6 minutes of injury time came back to haunt them and bite them. And they just got that vital touch, that they had hardly time to take the restart of the game. But so disappointing on that front. But as a performance and the way the players conducted themselves on the pitch, I think Kevin will take a great spirit in heading to Kerry this weekend.
Yeah. And Joe, lots of positives in there. From your perspective, what were those positives?
Yeah, and you know, when I was looking at the match, Joel Bradley-Walsh played alongside Conor Tourish at the back, and they were very, very solid, bar those two set pieces. And you know, Josh Cullen and Gavin McAteer were playing as well, two young lads who are still under 17 international, and you know, they were excellent in there. And I thought the position of Hutchinson in the middle of the field in front of the two centre backs made Harps very, very strong. Bray rarely got the opportunity to break them down, and Harps had a really good platform in the first half where they had loads of pace up front. They really, really did stretch Bray. And, you know, going to Kerry this weekend with the setup that they had in the first half and the way they were fit to break, it was just the second half they dropped deep. And with the wind that was in it the last night, it meant that any balls coming into the box were very, very difficult. And, you know, just if they could have got a couple of yards further up the pitch or been able to press Bray further up the pitch, then, you know, I felt they would have been in a really, really good position to see out the game. But the way they were set up in the first half and the way that they played and with the pace that they have now and the players Kevin has brought in, it certainly has made them a little bit more dangerous in the attacking third.
So Joe, the Kerry game now, it hasn't been the best of a hunting ground for Fin Harps to go. And listen, again, you really have to factor in this long trip. It's the longest trip of the year. It's taxing on the squad, sitting on a bus going the whole way to Kerry, play a football match and straight back up the road, and given the hectic schedule that you're going to factor in as well, Joe. So would you be happy enough with a draw on the road on Friday night against these Kerry boys?
I would, yeah, because you know, we've not been getting many positive results down there, and I think that's important because then you're going into the cup match against Bray again, where you've got the next round of the cup. So any positives at the minute, and low, it was disappointing on Monday night to get the draw, but you know, we've got to look at this team at the minute where they are a young team, they are an inexperienced team, and there's been a lot of transition for Kevin and the players. But you know, to jump in the bus in Balbuffet and head all the way to Tralee, that's a mammoth task, and you know, so anything they can get out of this, and particularly leading into the cup match now the following week against Bray at home again, then you know, we'll take all the positives we can, because not sure whether we have a chance of getting into the playoff positions at this stage, but you know, you couldn't have got a better draw in the cup against Bray at home, and having watched Bray and seen Bray play on Monday night, you'd be confident that you could get a positive result against Bray in the cup, and you know, you're heading into a quarter final, semi final territory then. So, you know, it's a disappointing time that we're not further up the league table, but an exciting time with the cup in Harps' sights now at the minute.
Yeah, Harps have had lots of away games over the last couple of weeks. Remember, they were away in Wexford, then they had the home game, now they're going away to Kerry. But the flip side of that is, and I know that's tough going, so it is, and the management and the squad and all involved. But the other side of that is, now you've got Bray in the cup and you've got back-to-back home games. So your next three games after this trip to Kerry are going to be at home. So they are.
Yeah, and that's great, because you've got Athlone and you'd fancy your chances against Athlone at home. And again, Treaty as well. Harps have done reasonably well against Treaty, and you're going away to Longford. So, you know, you look at the next month, you know, you'd be looking at trying to pick up a lot of points. And depending on how the other teams fare out in that month, you know, if they could turn one or two of those draws into results, you could manage to sneak in. Like, Treaty are 10 points ahead of you, but, you know, go to Kerry, get three points against Athlone, and then you're heading into the Treaty game. Then it could be a whole different complex situation then for Kevin and the team. But look, I think at the minute, anything you could get in Kerry at the minute would be a positive, particularly leading into the cup. And, you know, there is a bit of romance about the cup, and for a team that's maybe not going to be one in silverware, then any positivity that the club and the team can bring out at the minute, and then we'd certainly take it in the cup.
Yeah. So Kerry against Fun Harps Friday night. That's down in Tralee. Kickoff time 7:45. John Drummy will have updates from that game right here in Highland on Friday evening, as from that 7:45 start. The other games in the first division on Friday: Dundalk, who are leaders by 6 points from Cove Ramblers, they are taking on Athlone Town. Cove on the road as they go to the Carlisle grounds to play Bray Wanderers, and UCD are taking on Wexford in the other game on Friday night. On Saturday, Longford Town are playing host to Treaty United. Of course, lots of teams involved in Europe from the League of Ireland Premier Division, the likes of Shamrock Rovers, St Patrick's Athletic and Shelburne, all playing, of course, this week. And I suppose just on that point on Europe, about clubs trying to manage the situation. Shamrock Rovers game against Galway's on Sunday. St Pat's are playing Sligo Rovers on Sunday as well. And Shells are taking on Bows in a huge North Dublin derby at Tulka Park on Saturday evening as well. But these clubs are all vying, I suppose, to put themselves in the best financial situation off the back of European Ulster results. And it can be difficult for them to juggle what's happening on the home front and the European front, Joe.
Yeah, you'd fancy Shamrock Rovers with them having the strongest depth in their squad. But again, it's a great time for a player that if you're playing these big matches on a Wednesday, then get yourself up for a weekend. It will take its toll over a couple of weeks. So it does open up the door for the likes of Derry City and them to push in and maybe make a bit of inroads there. But when you look at the Pats, Shells and Shamrock Rovers, their squads are quite strong, so with a small bit of rotation then you'd be thinking, but again, it does open up the door for Derry to try and get a couple of results, although Derry have had a couple of disappointing results in the last couple of weeks, so they'd be very, very keen to bounce back and try and make sure that they try and close that gap in there to get that second position, because that draw against Bowes 2 weeks ago was disappointing for Derry, but you know, they've got to try and keep a bit of pressure on Bowes, because Drogheda are right on their tail, and for me that's a huge season, because I think in the earlier part of the season I was looking and thinking that Drogheda could be a team that could have been going back down if they didn't manage to build a cup success, but they've certainly done that, and Derry will be certainly hoping to get 3 points off Cork this weekend.
That's a good enough game for Derry because they're at home against Cork. Side, of course, is bottom of the table. And it's not a bad fixture to take on off the back of that 2-0 defeat at the hands of Rovers last Sunday.
Yeah, and the other one is when you look at Shelburne. Shelburne are playing Bohemians this weekend, and you know that will be a very, very difficult game. And on Sunday, then Shamrock Rovers go down to Galway, and you know Sligo play St. Pat's in Dublin. So these games are all tricky, and trying to manage that energy and the travel, and you know the level that the European matches are at as well, and then coming back to your own league. So it's a very, very difficult time for all the teams involved, but it does open up the door for Derry to try and build momentum, because they've lost their momentum again there in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, just finally then, does it open the door, do you feel, for somebody like Sligo Rovers who are taking on St Patrick's Athletic, that there's a great opportunity here for Sligo to try and get 3 points on Sunday evening?
Yeah, because at the minute, Sligo are just in that position where, you know, they're in the playoff position to play against the first division team, but it's going to be a big ask for them now to close the gap on Waterford at this stage. So they need to make sure that they stay in that playoff position, because you would fancy that Sligo, if they were to play a first division team, would get through. So it's very, very important that these run of matches coming up for John Russell and Sligo, that they continue to build a little bit of momentum in there. And that's their problem. They can't get that consistency of getting two or three wins where they have a good result and the next week then it falls flat on them. So trying to get themselves up this week now and get something against Pats would be a huge result for Sligo.
All right then, Joe, we'll leave it there. As always, thanks for joining us on the Score programme tonight, and we'll catch up again soon and enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks, Archie.
There you go. That's Joe Boyle looking at the League of Ireland action for Finn Harps and Derry City. Okay, we're going to go for a quick commercial break here in the Score. Do stay tuned. We'll have more for you after these.
Get all your GAA essentials at Michael Murphy Sports, the go-to place for outdoor training gear and more at michaelmurphysports.ie.
So welcome back to the Score programme. Coming up shortly, we will be hearing from Jerry McCarthy, a man who's looking to win this weekend's Donegal Ultra 555 cycling race for a third time. But before that, we're going to focus in locally on Gaelic Games and the first round matches across the senior, intermediate and junior championships in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Club Championships are taking place this weekend. A very, very quick turnaround from the end of the inter-county season, but there's a full programme of club championship action here in Donegal this weekend. We'll be featuring a number of games. To look forward now to the senior games, I'm joined by our regular match analyst, Brendan Kilcoyne, in studio. Brendan, good to see you. How you doing?
Good evening, Oisin. How you doing?
Not too bad, Brendan. And I mentioned it there about the quick turnaround from the inter-county season. All of a sudden, the club stuff is swinging into action this weekend. And we're sort of going into it waiting to see what players from a county perspective will be available for the clubs. And indications are there's not going to be too many of them. And it's going to make for a sort of strange start to the championship this weekend.
It certainly is. There's a lot of unknowns going into it, Oisin. Like, I suppose I feel myself, I've just arrived back from Croke Park after the final, or 10 days ago, or whatever it is now, you know. But there's a lot of unknowns, player availability, you know, with a lot of teams. These guys have been going hard since last winter, so they have. And, you know, they've played, 18 competitive games before the end of July. So there's, you know, obviously a lot of them are going to go away on holidays. They're going to have to look after maybe niggles and injuries that they were nursing over the last couple of months. So player availability, county player availability for teams this weekend is questionable. And that allied to the new rules at club level, you know, yes, all these teams obviously played through the league, the county leagues all over the last number of months, but they were without their, you know, county players in the main. So obviously that's going to have a big reading on things too, Oisin. So there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of imponderables out there. So there are, that said, you're going into a championship with probably two joint favourites of reigning county champion St Eunan's and, of course, Niamh Connell, who have won 5 of the last 10, I think, county championships.
Well, let's look at the fixtures. We'll pick out a few of them. There's 4 games on Saturday evening. The first match is at 5 o'clock. Killybegs are taking on Termon, the newly crowned Division 1 league champions. The first derby we see comes in the form of 4 Masters against St Nolls. That's at 7. 30 minutes later at 7:30, it's Glenswally against Niamh Connell out in Glenswilly, and at the same time, Downings are playing host to Dunloe. I suppose on Saturday, there's two very, very tasty derbies in there, and I suppose the big game of the weekend is Glenswilly against Niamh Connell. It's back to the point that we started with. We wait to see what county players are available for both sides there. Obviously, Michael Murphy, the talisman for Glenswilly. There's a host of men that were involved with Jim McGuinness's side from the Niamh Connell Club throughout the inter-county season as well. So, is there any way we can predict this, not knowing who's available and who is available, Brendan?
It's very difficult, so it is, Oisín. You know, you have Glenswilly, obviously Michael Murphy is their talisman, he's their main man, so he's, I believe, away on holidays, and the talk is that he won't be available for Saturday evening. And likewise with Niamh Connell, their main man, Kieran Thompson, obviously picked up an injury in that All-Ireland final in the first half, so his availability is unknown. Glenswilly going into the game, you know, after they've blooded a lot of young players, they're a very young team, so they have throughout. And, you know, we know what Glenswilly bring, particularly at home. They've some real talent, some all over the field, so they have, against this Niamh Connell side, who, you know, have been really strong at senior level, obviously, in recent years, and they've so much talent coming through. And they're bolstered by, you know, the return of three big players for them. Kieran Gallagher back in the frame for around the middle of the park, big man that's, you know, crucially important. Owen McGettigan inside, for the inside forward line, and we know the talent that Owen possesses, and he's just been besieged with injuries over the last number of years. So to have him back in the Niamh Connell ranks is a big plus for them. And a young fella called Max Campbell, who's coming through from the county under-20s, had a fantastic campaign with them, and, you know, really, really good footballer. I was lucky enough to work with him at minor and under-20 level over the last number of years. A really, really top player, so he is. So, you know, Niamh Connell have huge strength and depth, so they have. They probably can cope as well and better than most with the absence of some key players. But we saw down through the years, when Niamh Connell are in trouble, Kieran Thompson was more than often than not the man that would pull them out. So, big ask for Glenswilly in the first game with such a young side coming up against this experienced, you know, really, really strong Niamh Connell side, who are probably hurting a lot after a quarter-final exit against St. Junan's last year, Oisín.
Yeah. And I'm thinking the fact that there is teams, Termon and Foremasters, who have had everybody available to them this year and have got to grips with the rules a lot earlier than some of the other sides. From a Niamh Connell perspective, once they get the collective all back together, is there going to be a bedding in under the new rules, or is it going to be a seamless changeover, do you feel, Brendan, for them?
Oh, I think it's going to take a time bedding in, so it is. And you're going to have, you know, the Niamh Connell lads that were involved in the county setup rejoining the squad. And, you know, obviously they've been trained and coached at the top level in the respect of the new rules, so they will only add in that respect. But yes, the fact that they haven't played together as a unit, they did have there was some of the players that wouldn't have made match day 26 that were made available to play for them, you know, through some of the league games, but it'll be their first time getting them all back together. So there is a lot of unknown out there. And, you know, we saw throughout the All-Ireland Championship, Oisín, that, you know, the impact of kickouts, that suddenly everything is booted out the middle. Shorts aren't really an option now. They're very hard to get away, so they are, with the way teams can press. And so I'm sure that over the last number of months, teams have been working on, you know, pressing the opposition kickout and trying to pen them in. And, you know, you look at sometimes the weather conditions going into this time of year with strong winds. We had them last weekend, and, you know, trying to get out under them conditions is going to be very difficult. So it is. So, you know, Glenswilly, for their part, you know, the two Gallaghers, Jack Donald Gallagher's two top players, they've Dathaí Gilday up front, they've young fellas like Jamie McCauley, Mikey Toner, all these guys, Owen Scott. So they're a very young side, and you would think that they would probably need the influence and the astuteness of Michael Murphy to make them tick. They have some other experienced players, the likes of Copper, you know, and Keelan Kelly, so they have, but I feel just going into this game with Niamh Connell's overall squad depth and their experience at this level, despite the fact that, you know, Glenswilly is a very tough place to go and get a result, I just feel that Niamh Connell might just have a wee bit too much for them on Saturday evening, Oisín. Yeah.
The other standout derby is obviously the Donegal Town Mount Charles game. Masters playing host to St. Noel's. And there's no doubt if St. Noel's are going to make a game of this, that they would need Mogan, McCall and Mulroney all in the ranks. And again, we have to wait to see if them three are available. But if they're not, St. Noel's could really struggle in this game at home. Away from home.
Away from home, yeah. And St. Noel's have had a difficult league campaign, obviously, with them three aforementioned players not been available throughout the league, Oisín. So it's been a tough for them. They've been relegated to Division 3. But they're three huge players to have coming back in. Three big characters, three very influential players. If they are available, they will need them available to have any chance against this youthful four Masters team. You know, we've seen what they've done at underage level, winning two Ulster championships in a row, minor championships in a row. And, you know, they've a good mixture the whole way through the team. And they've been touted as a team that could go on, maybe not quite at it as of yet, but over the next few years, you would expect them to be competing at the very top level. So they're, you know, did really well to get to a league final, where they were beaten by Termin in the league final, Oisín. So again, the local rivalry of it makes it appeasing and all that. For Masters, you would fancy that they should have a bit too much for them with all the quality that they have coming in. And, you know, we saw the numbers Senan Carr put up in last year's championship, and he'll be going out again fresh and after being involved.
He's actually in America at the moment. Is he back? Because of the later rounds he's due back, I think, Senan Carr. He missed the league.
He was in
America.
You know, and that goes back to the unknowns, actually, that we're speaking about. We don't know what players are available to the various teams throughout the county, but even at that, you know, Conor McCahill didn't play in the minor final last night. Is he fit to play? You know, he was obviously brilliant for the county under-20s this year. You have the likes of Callum McRae then, and, you know, there's so much good young players coming through in that four Masters club. So there are. So again, we'll have to wait to see what the availability. And I think it'll take a few games over this, you know, group stages, Oisín, to figure out where teams are at, how they're coping with the new rules, what county players are available to them, you know, as regards injuries, holidays, travels, etc. So it's going to take a bit of time to thrash that out.
Okay. And in saying that then, in your opinion, should we have delayed the championship by a week or two? Because the final's scheduled for the weekend of the 12th of October. Fixtures out for Ulster this week mean that Donegal's not playing until the 8th or 9th of November in Ulster. So there's a big gap there. Should there have been a bit of leeway for this, for the club championship? One man suggested to me that the same appetite for the club isn't there as what there was in previous years because of this very short turnaround from inter-county to club. So maybe should it have, and there's nothing we can do about it, and we're throwing it up in the air here, but what's your opinion on it? Should it have been stuck back?
Listen, there are arguments for and against Oisín in this respect. You know, you're talking about the 30 or the 40 odd lads that have been involved in the training with the county squad that have had a huge effort all year, and, you know, have really had a tough break, and they deserve a break. So for them to come back and be expected to play this weekend is really harsh. And you add in the disappointment of losing to Kerry in the All-Ireland final. But the other argument then is you have club players, you have over 400, we'll say, senior club players based on 25 a squad kind of thing, that are waiting for championship all year and have planned their holidays around this. So I think it does need to be looked at in the respect that, you know, it just doesn't seem to be working yet. There's very little appetite, I think, out there at, you know, from the general public, from speaking to people so soon after the All-Ireland final to get back into it. It's unfair, certainly, on the lads that are, you know, coming out of the county squad. But then you have to take into account, you know, the club players that are sitting and waiting in the long grass all year to get going and to get on with this. So I think the whole structure does need probably looking at and to be refined in a better
question.
Way.
Has the format of this need changed?
I think so, Oisín. Yeah, you know, there's very little jeopardy in this championship in the early rounds. So there isn't. Yeah. And we saw that over the last couple of years. And, you know, four teams are relegated, or four teams out of 16 aren't going to get an opportunity to get to a quarter final. They're going to be in a relegation playoff. Top four will go straight into a quarter final with the next eight playing off, if I'm right in that assessment, yeah. Oisín. And, you know, it's a lot of games to whittle it down to your last eight, in my opinion. So it is. And, you know, the old system I was always really fond of, and I know, you know, it's home and away and a third game if it's required, and I felt that worked really well.
Could you add a qualifier system into that way? Would it work? Derry's doing something where there's a qualifying system and they've gone away from the leagues. Tyrone are straight knockout. That's it. You play one game, you're gone if you lose.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you could certainly look at different options like that, Oisín. I think, like, the Tyrone model to me is the championship. Best championship in the country. Now, I do get the fact that, you know, you might only have one game, but the reality is that in Tyrone, you have some really strong teams. You know, you have 12 of the 16, I think, any year that could possibly go on and win the championship. And, you know, it is, I get the difficulty in that, but it's so attractive and so alluring. Like, I think the whole country is tuned into the Tyrone championship when it's happened, because all games seem to be super competitive and go down to the wire. And, you know, it's so difficult to retain a championship in Tyrone. I just feel that, you know, a bit of ours and a bit of theirs and maybe a bit of Derry's or something like that, yeah, to refine it to a better streamlined system, Oisín.
Okay, back to the fixtures. So yeah. On Saturday, as we said, Killybegs against Termon at 5, Foremaster St. Noel's at 7, two games at 7:30, Glenswilly against Neve Connell, which could turn out to be the game of the weekend, and Downings are playing host to last year's beaten finalist Dunloe at 7:30. There's four more games to come Sunday afternoon. We'll be featuring three of them on Sunday Sports. St. Michael's against McCool's at 2 o'clock. We'll have coverage there with Chris Ashmore, who will be having live regular updates from that game down at the bridge. Then at Mahrigallen, Guidoor taking on Glenfinn at 3 o'clock. Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News will be in duty for Highland Sport in that one. And our feature game at the weekend is live from the O'Donnell Park at 4 o'clock on Sunday with St. Unan's against Kilcare. Myself and Brendan Devaney will have full live match commentary from that game. Plus the other match this weekend is Ardra against Arua Ballyshannon on Sunday afternoon as well. So St. Michael's, Guidoor and St. Unan's are the three venues that we will have live action from here on Highland Radio Sunday Sport. And I'm sure, as you know, there's also the new streaming service which has been launched by Donegal GAA teaming up with streamsport.ie. They will be broadcasting four games at the weekend as well. There'll be more details of that on the Donegal GAA social media channels. So the four games at the weekend, as I just said, on Sunday. Our feature game is St. Unan's against Kilcare. And it's back to that point we made. We wait to see what county players are going to be there for both sides. But if there's none available for St. Unan's, and Kilcare do have the likes of maybe of Patrick sitting in there, Ryan's obviously not going to be available with that shoulder injury. We don't know the full extent of it. But if St. Unan's don't have all their county men back, it's giving Kilcare a bit of a chance in the opener, is it, Brendan?
I think so, yeah. And, you know, these two teams met in the first round last year too, Oisín, and you know,
Unan's won handy enough.
Unan's by nine or ten points, if I recall correctly, and they've met a lot actually. So they have in the earlier rounds of championship over the last number of years. And you know, Kilcare come up. They struggled a bit during the league, but got their act together towards the end. Maybe when they got a few players back again, there's uncertainty. I don't know if the McLeans are available to them. Ryan, there's a question mark over Ryan, but when you've Patrick and under this new system of three up kind of thing and the new rules, Oisín, you know, he's going to be a huge threat and he seems to be in good shape. He'll be mad to, you know, to go out and play a lot of football because he didn't get many 60 minutes or 70 minutes over the course of the year. So obviously he's going to be a huge threat. And that allied to the fact that his normal man marker, Conor Morrison, is no longer with St. Junan's, who I think is a huge loss to the St. Junan's squad, you know, because he always took up the main opposition man. So he did as a man marking job and did it excellently well. So he's obviously lost to St. Junan's. And as you say, then there's word that, you know, maybe the county players from St. Junan's aren't available this weekend. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be under a lot of pressure, so they are, and it's going to be a big ask for them if all them lads aren't available to come away with a win in the first round, so it is.
We talked about Neve Connell and their credentials of being possible champions. St. Junan's are looking to make it back-to-back. If they are going to do that, Brendan, do they need all their county men available, and how important will it be for Sean Patton to be part of that cog again?
Sean Patton's a huge part of that cog, so he is, Oisín, obviously. But we're looking at Sean Patton, you know, all year. And in my opinion, you know, he's been carrying a knox a lot of the way through the year, particularly since after the Ulster Championship. So he has. So, you know, if his availability will have a big say in it. Now, they've been playing Fintan Doherty, a young fella, really highly rated goalkeeper.
He signed up at one of the soccer teams.
I think he was with the Institute or something like that. We actually had him with the minors a couple of years ago, and he only came in for a couple of sessions, but he was really impressive. He knew there was a lot of talent there. So I'm sure Unan will be working hard in keeping him, because incidentally, their second choice keeper, Ronan McGeehan, over the last number of years, who's Sigerson winner UUJ, isn't available this year either. Yeah. So, you know, Unans do have an issue there if there's a problem with Fintan, you know, where do they go from there? So he's, you know, Sean Patton, best kicker of the ball in the country still, so he is, and he's going to be a huge miss if he isn't available for the year. But Unans have a lot of strength and depth, so they have a lot of experience, and Park McGettigan is back playing for them again this year, you know, it gives them that big target man at the top of the square, and Owen McGeehan inside, you know, that, you know, he has great scoring potential, but you know, without the likes of Shane O'Donnell, Nyan O'Donnell, Kieran Moore, they're three big players.
Keelan Ward, who will be back in good shape.
Keelan would be back in good shape. Yeah, he's probably.
There's lots of these players that are involved with county that haven't played.
Yeah.
But they've been part of the squad. And you would think that they've got the hang of the new rules, having having trained at that level.
That's right, yeah.
And the shape that they will be in coming back to the club. And I'll include Jack McKelvey, Oran Doherty, Charles McGuinness as well.
All these players, yeah. They've been well tutored all year, so they have on the new rules, Oisin, you're correct in that, yeah.
So that's the fixtures for this weekend. Just finally, we seem to be looking at St Union's Niamh Connell to win the Dr. Maguire this year. But outside of that, Brendan, if there's going to be somebody outside of the top two that can spring, I don't know if we can call it an extent of a surprise as yet, but if there's going to be somebody else outside of the Letterkenny or the Glenty sides, who would you be looking at?
I would be very loath to ever write out Guy Doerr because of experience of that down through the years, that they can always be good. And, you know, they will have the introduction of the likes of Cahalrua, Gallagher, Porrick McBride, Jordy Gribben, these type of really good young players who, again, played with the under 20 team throughout the year, Oisin, and will be a big addition to strengthen Ronan McNeilis's hand. So as the year goes through, obviously Neil McGee will probably be available back to them too. So I would be very loath to ever write Guy Doerr off. They have that championship quality about them. Then you're looking at the likes of, you know, Dunloe getting to the final last year, probably lacked a bit of scoring power up front. I think one of the green lads is home from Australia. That will improve that in some respect. Luke Clerkin is back playing with them after an injury a couple of years. So, you know, I wouldn't write Dunloe off either. Out of that, St. Michael's have always been, you know, they've had a fairly solid league campaign, so they have, without Michael Langan's influence. Obviously, if they can get him back and get him playing really well, he's such a quality player, you could never write off any team with him in it. But I think it still comes down to to Niamh Connell, St. Junans are the two teams that will go into the championship as favourites and that other teams will need to beat if they are to go on and be successful in the county championship, Oisin.
We'll wait to see come the 12th of October who's going to be champions of the Donegal Senior Football Club Championship this year. It all starts at the weekend, and of course not forgetting as well that there is fixtures to be played at intermediate and junior level. The full fixture lists are available on the Donegal GA website. Listen, Brendan, many thanks for dropping in. Nice to see you. Good that you joined us. The focus changed to the clubs. It's going to be a busy weekend and we look forward to it. Thanks, Brendan.
Okay, Oisin, thank you.
Let's go to athletics, and Connor Kelly qualified for the semi-finals of the 400 metres at the European Athletics Under 20 Championships in Finland earlier today. The Finn Valley man won his heat in 46.94 seconds and is set to line out tomorrow morning, Friday, in the semis, along with fellow Irish teammate Sean Doggart, who was second in his heat. Kelly, of course, came into the championships as the European number one, having set a personal best and a national under 20 record at the Morton Games last month. But there was some disappointment today for Ethan Dewhurst, who was set for a heat in the 400 metre hurdles, but he was disqualified for a false start. Let's talk about Connor Kelly now. Joining us on the programme is our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal. Patsy, you're welcome to the programme.
Good evening, Oisin.
I suppose Connor Kelly, I'm sure as you heard there, Patsy, in our introduction, you know well from his performance today, cruising into the semi-finals. It was a very, very steady run by the Finn Valley man this morning to go to the next stage. And listen, he remains on course for what hopefully will be a medal-winning championship for him.
Oh, absolutely. That would be the only real outcome that we would be talking about, because anything else would be a disappointment, to be honest. This boy's a class act, and he's in there as the fastest European. It's a European Under 20 Championships. They're in Tampere in Finland, and he went through very controlled, very much in command of that heat this morning. Now he's back in action tomorrow at 2:30 for a semi-final. I expect him to come through that bar a disaster, and then it's hell open then for the final. And he's really intent on getting a medal, at least a medal. And we'll not think anything else around him at the minute. But he's good enough. He's a special talent, Oisin, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and it's all about how you manage championships. And I know when I spoke to you before about other Northwest athletes, the likes of Mark English and others who are involved in championships, it's how you manage yourself over the course of a number of days. And obviously when you've got the likes of your own Dermot McGranahan out there as a coach as well, who are key in this situation too, Patsy.
Well, you're absolutely right. But you know, at the end of the day, he's just turned 18. So really, Dermot's detail really is to keep his feet on the ground, to keep him real, to not get carried away, just take one race at a time, and all he's in now is the semi-final. Don't jump ahead. Just steady the head, because I'm repeating it again, he is a young lad. He's just turned 18 on his birthday a couple of weeks ago. So basically, you know, he just needs to keep calm and then get ready when the time comes midday tomorrow.
Okay, what sort of race will he need to run tomorrow if he's going to make the final, Patsy?
Well, what he'll do, he probably would do the day. He'll go out fast. He'll go out fast, settle down, have a look at what's going on. His lane draw will be good. He'll be in the middle of his lanes, so he'll be able to see what's going on outside him. And, you know, that's what he'll have to target. You know, there was another very good European from the Czech. That young fella has now decided to do the 200. So he was a serious contender, but he's out of the picture now. So it's all down to Connor now. But I was very, very impressed with him this morning. Yep. You know, the way he changed gears, the way he went down the back straight. At one point in time, he just changed gears in a way, and he moved again. You know, so when you know the semi-final will probably be, well, certainly the final will be 9 balls out. You know.
Okay. Well, hopefully he can progress through from the semi tomorrow. It didn't work out for Ethan Dewhurst today, of course, of Tyr Connell AC, involved in the 400 metre hurdles. He was hoping for a good run, but Patsy never got running at all. A false start, seeing him disqualified, which was disappointing, but he bounced back, so he will.
Aye, well, surely, and he's a very talented boy, you know, and sadly, it's very disappointing for him and for his coaches and for his family, you know, who really put so much into this. But, you know, it's a learning as well, and it does happen in sprint athletics, and you know, he's got to learn now. But it's a sore lesson to go that distance, get DQ'd. He still has the 4x4 if he's selected for that. He is on the squad, so we'll have to wait and see. There are three or four other very good boys in that squad as well. That's a very good 4x4 squad that he's in. He's in the grouping. I don't know. There's no selection yet, so we're hoping now that he'll get a run on the 4x4, because there will be heats and finals, and you know, hopefully finals. And you know, it'll be very important for him at the end of a season to get a run. You know, the season doesn't end with a disqualification, but disappointed for him and for everybody associated with him. It's hard, particularly, but it's experience. There's nothing else you can say about it.
Yeah. Just finally on Aaron Friel, of course, recent European Youth Olympic bronze medalist. Will the Letterkenny AC athlete get to run on the relay team at the weekend?
Well, she will. She'll get to run on the relay team, most definitely she will, and she'll be the best. She'll be the best runner in the relay, I would imagine. You know, now how strong are the relay team? At the moment, in my head, they're fourth or fifth. So they've got to change that numbers game up three. So they've got to get through the heats. It'll take everybody running out of their skins to make the final and then get medals. So, look, Erin, no doubt she'll do her job. She's the fastest. And I'm kind of, I often wonder why she wasn't allowed to run on the individual four, because that would have been a good experience for her, you know. Because the world doesn't end with the season this year, so it's all about building experience. So, but look, the Athletics Ireland took that decision. She was qualified for the 400 flat, but anyway, she's in the relay, and I just wish her the very best of luck.
Okay, listen, we look forward to the Athletics over the next couple of days. As always, Patsy McGonigal, thanks for joining us this evening.
Good luck, Oisin.
So then, the final part of the Score programme tonight is cycling and the Donegal Ultra 555 race. It's the 10th edition of this challenge, which is 555 kilometres, plus there is 333 kilometres and a 222 kilometre race as well. It's all across the Donegal Wild Atlantic Way coastline, and it takes in some scenic roads, the likes of Malinhead, Mamore Gap, Knockalla, Atlantic Drive, Hornhead, Glengash Pass, Slieve League, just to name a few. Once again, the headquarters will be in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny, and the event is taking place this coming Saturday. Some of the 555 contenders, Rory Devlin of Inishowen, would be seen as the favourite. Mark Cassidy, another man from this area, is hoping for a good performance and being a possible winner. But a man who has already come to the county twice before and won is looking to make it three wins now in the 555, and that is Gerry McCarthy. Our own Highlands Mark Gallagher caught up with Gerry just days out before he makes his way to Donegal to take on yet another grueling 555 kilometres around the county.
So, Jerry, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the Donegal Ultra 555 race, I want to go back to what got you into these kind of ultra endurance events in the first place. Where did it all begin for you?
Well, I suppose I took up cycling late, as opposed to Wall Street. I was into my 40s before I started with any pedals, Mark, and did a little road racing and this and that. I suppose at the age, nerves and things were never what they should be for road racing and that type of thing. And I always enjoyed against the clock, whether it be time trial or hill climbing, was more of my thing. Racing myself, I suppose, and trying to get the best out of myself. So I suppose, lo and behold, COVID arrived, and with little to no more events, I started to up the mileage, just do a little bit more miles, I suppose, more hours on the bike. Quite enjoyed knocking out the long miles, and just decided then to have a go at the likes of Donegal 555. It just came on the radar. Did it originally in 21 with the intention of just hoping to finish it. Didn't probably think I'd finish it. Completely green, you know, got nutrition, pacing, everything else. Because the important thing is wrong, I suppose. So it was a big learning curve. And quite enjoyed it and just kicked it on from there, I suppose, Mark. Got the bug for the long miles, I suppose, type of thing. And I suppose literally on those events, you're racing yourself. You're trying to get the best out of yourself over the course of the distance that's provided.
That's it. And now you find yourself a two-time winner of the Donegal Ultra 555 race. This is the 10th year of that particular event, and you're gearing up for another stab at it this weekend.
Yes, indeed, Mark. So, I quite enjoyed it. I love the scenery, the roads. Charles Michael has put a lot of work into it and very well ran and organised. So it's a great event to do, like, for us. You know, you get to see all the sights and that type of thing. So it's nice even to get out of your county and experience different roads and different countryside and that type of thing, you know. So, we're back to give it another crack and see how it goes.
I just want to go back to your first win in 2022. What was your mindset heading into that event? Did you go in thinking, I'm going to try and win this, or was winning more of a byproduct of training hard and getting in to try to do your best?
Yeah, winning was a complete byproduct. I don't think you can ever be, you know, confident enough in your training that you can win on the day, because, like, as anyone with, you know, up on a 20-hour, so many things can go wrong during the day, whether it be mechanical or, you know, your body just leaves you down, you don't get your nutrition right, your gut doesn't stay absorbing carbs and all of that type of thing. So you're really trying to get the best out of yourself. If win or a result, you know, not so much to win, but a podium or whatever becomes possible, but that's an added bonus. But really it's about, you know, getting the best out of yourself, doing as much training as that's allowed to you, you know, with work and family, etc., and just getting the most out of them on the day type of thing. So it's a personal goal, really, you know. You always want to do well, whether winning or is relative, I suppose, to your training and your fitness and your ability. But, you know, you can get as much, like the first year I did it was back in 21. Like I said, with the intention of just hoping to finish it. And I finished fourth that year. Like, I probably got more a kick out of that than the two wins after type of thing, because it was such an unknown. And actually to finish it and then the good result was, you know, great sense of achievement type of thing.
You mentioned the race organisers, Sean McFadden and Michael Black. We actually had them in with us at the weekend there, and we were asking them about the kind of training that goes into preparing for such an event. It was interesting to me that Michael suggested that the mental approach to the race is almost as important as the physical training you do in the build-up. Is that something you can relate to, and maybe what's your preparation been like over the past couple of weeks or even months?
Yeah, definitely. Like it's like I said, you are racing yourself, and like there is parts of the race that, you know, it's going to go maybe slightly pear shaped, that you're going to feel desperate, and you're, you know, maybe at 250k and not even halfway there, and wondering how are you going to finish this. So you have to play mind games with yourself. And the right, you know, I'm in a 20 kilometer headwind situation, and it's going to get better after this. And didn't realize maybe everyone else is feeling bad or worse or whatever. So you play kind of mind games and keep encouraging yourself on. And of course, the support team come in big into play there. That we have radio contact, and the guys supporting you are, you know, egging you on and giving you a bit of confidence that everything is fine. And eat up, or, you know, drink a little bit more, eat a little bit more, and get over the bit of a lull you're in. And suddenly you'll find that, you know, you're actually good again. The speed has come up, you're in a smoother part of the course or whatever it might be. So you just have to, you know, be deep at times and get through type of a story. Like it's not easy to anyone. You know, if you're going to push yourself, you're going to come across the bad patches. As for training, then, like, you know, everyone has a different idea to how you should train for an ultra event. But we can just lay out a block. I have a coach and he's very good. We upped the training obviously closer to it and put in a couple of decent long rides and shorter intense training in between during the week when you don't have time for long rides. So you mix and match, I suppose, Mark, and just try and get as much done over the period of time that's allowed to you, kind of, you know.
So you're obviously a seasoned endurance athlete at this stage, Gerry. If there happens to be any less experienced athletes out there taking part in this for the first time, maybe it's their first time doing this, like an event of this magnitude, and they're a wee bit nervous, would you have any advice for them?
Well, I suppose, look, the main thing is let the event come to you. Don't push it from the start. It's a long event, like whether it's the 2:22 or 3:33 or 5:55. You know, the first, we'd say in the 5:55 is what I'm used to. Like the first half of the race, I'd want to be, you know, your leisurely cycle type of thing, because there's plenty of time after that to hurt yourself or push yourself on. So, like, you wouldn't want to obviously go out with guns blazing trying to set quick times or quick average speeds or whatever it is. And, like, I suppose the other thing is keep eating, you know, because you're burning so many calories there. You're out for so long, you know, you have to keep fuel. I think some people don't look at fueling and how important it is. But pacing and fueling, I suppose, two simple things, you know. Don't overdo it, kind of thing. There's plenty time and plenty of there to pick it up if you feel, you know, you've energy in the last third of it or something like that. So I suppose that'd be my main advice. Navigation, I suppose, from the likes of come from Kerry originally, been on the road, or everything would have been alien to. So, you know, having good homework done on the route and a good system of tracking the route is hugely important, because the last thing you want to do is make a wrong turn and realise you're gotten whatever, maybe 3 or 5 or 10 K out of your way, and you have to reroute, kind of thing. That's kind of mind blowing if that happens, you know. So there's just the basic things that was marking, you know, to try and get them right.
What about the Donegal coastline, Gerry? We're very proud of it up here, but do you really get the chance to appreciate the beauty of the likes of Horn Head when you're in the depths of the race?
You do indeed, Mark. You do. Like, of course, you're concentrating on, you know, potholes or whatever it might be, type of thing. But yeah, every now and again, of course, you're taking it in. I the first year, I suppose, like some Amor, Glengarry, Cardin, Head, you know, finding all these places that you know, you'd hear of and all that. Like, I probably would never get the reason to cycle them only for an event like this. So it's great to, I suppose, you're ticking a box with one thing. Like, I suppose any guy in endurance and like cycling, you're always looking for a different challenge in a different area or a different route. And just to say you know you cycle the likes of Amor and Glengesht, it's good to have all those in the route, kind of a thing, you know. And like, fair play to the boys, they've put a lot of work into, you know, getting elevation into it and getting all these iconic climbs and things for the likes of ourselves. So, you know, you hear guys in cycling doing these and the likes of the Ross Tolson and things like that. So it's great for the likes of us wannabes, I suppose we'll put it, being able to cycle this route type of thing and taking all these climbs in the one day, you know. So it's fair play to him, you know.
Yeah. Finally, Gerry, what are your ambitions for this weekend, be it time-wise or finishing in certain positions, or maybe you have another goal in mind for yourself?
I'm just going to go as quick and as hard as I can, kind of thing, Mark. I don't put ambitions, because over the 3 years I've done it, it's from the quickest to the slowest, there's nearly an hour of a difference. But that's all weather related, and, you know, how strong the breeze is and how long you're in the headwind. So you can never actually put a time in it, if you know what I mean. So you just hope you're getting better at pacing and fueling and stopping and, you know, all that type of thing. So, you know, just as I said originally, just to go down the best foot forward, and whatever result comes at the end of it, then so be it, kind of thing, you know.
That's it. As the Cork rowers said at the Olympics, close your eyes and pull like a dog. That's kind of
something similar to that, Mayor. Something similar to that.
That's Gerry McCarthy in conversation with Highlands' Mark Galler, looking forward to the 5:55 Donegal Ultra Race, which is taking place this Saturday. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, it will be available online on highlandradio.com shortly. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So it's left of this Thursday. From me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.